Saturday AM Live with Vance Rogers.
Okay, so, Dr. Bogus, do I still have you on the line?
Hey, good morning, Vance. How are you?
Good morning. I am terrific. And yourself?
Why, it's great. It's 48 degrees here in Pennsylvania. I heard all these wonderful degree temperatures going around the country, but it's a balmy 48 here, and it's raining like cats and dogs.
That's exactly what it is here in the Portland, Oregon area. So we're exactly the same, which is kind of fun. Well, good morning, Stan. Good to have you on the line. Let's jump right on into things. And by the way, if you're just tuning in, or if you're new to Saturday AM Live, this is Vance, and I get to play host today, like every Saturday for the past, oh goodness, 13, 14 years. I gotta do some homework and find out how long this call has been taking place. But it's been a while. And, I always at the end have a few announcements, so if you wanna stay tuned for what I think is privy information that, should enable you to be a better wellness consultant, not only for yourself, your family, but for other people you come in contact with, well, stay tuned at the end and we'll cover a couple quick things. But before we even get into that, Dr. Stan Bogus is with us this morning from Pennsylvania, as you just mentioned. And, again, Stan, it's a delight to have you on the call. And I have no idea why we've never had you on the call before. That's a lapse in my, thinking and my ability to be proactive. But, take us back to the beginning because, am I correct in saying that you, by trade, went to school and studied, to be a podiatrist, correct?
Yes. First of all, before I get going, I wanted to compliment you on the service that you provide on whatever the last 13 or 14 years that you've been doing. And I think it's a great thing that you're doing for the profession. And, I definitely compliment and accolades on that one.
Well, something I do, and, you know, I'd love to be like a typical American and sleep in on a Saturday morning, but it just doesn't work for me because the parents that brought me into the world, they passed on these wonderful genes that don't allow me to sleep in. So, wide awake, bright-eyed, and bushy-tailed about 5:30 every single day of the week, you know, Monday through Friday or Saturday, Sunday. So, anyways, yeah, but take us back to the beginning. Why, as a little kid, you just always dreamed of playing with people's feet?
I didn't realize that I had a fetish for feet later in life.
Okay, so what led you to the world of cancer?
Well, here's the whole story. I actually studied to be a funeral director. And, I got my license, funeral directors and embalming license in Ohio. My parents moved to Ohio after I graduated from high school. And I went to Ohio State and then didn't know what I was going to do. You know, I thought about medicine, but I didn't come from a family of educated people. Just white collar, blue collar workers and more blue collar. But I had some friends that just suggested that I go into funeral business because they seemed to be doing pretty well and they were driving big Cadillacs and big houses and that kind of a thing. And I thought, this might be something good for me. So I did that and went to graduate from mortuary school, got my license in embalming and funeral directing, and was a funeral director in Ohio in Cleveland for about 10 years. But what happened was I went on to work for a larger funeral concern in the Cleveland area because the fellow that I was tied up with was not doing a lot of, I mean, I was doing more maintenance and paint buildings and wallpapering and that kind of thing instead of working funerals. But anyway, we were at a big firm in Cleveland, Ohio, not too far from the Cleveland Clinic, and that firm had podiatry students working there. It was one of the big old mansions, the Halley Mansions in Cleveland, and they had this, in this mansion was a third floor apartment for the staff, maids and that kind of thing, butlers. And so we had a large apartment up there and they were five podiatry students and they would work calling hours that night. And they saw how busy and how frustrated I was with the funeral business. Because if you're not in it, in the family, you know, then you become a, you know, how should I say it? Maybe for lack of a better word, a peon. You know, you're just an employee, and you're treated like, basically like that. So one Sunday afternoon, what actually was a weekend, I was had a bad day at the funeral home, and the podiatry students came over, and one of them was Dr. Bob Purdy. And he said, you know, my name's Stanley Stosh in Polish. So he said, Stosh, why don't you go to podiatry school? Give up this thing. And I said, you know what? You give me an application, and if I'm accepted, I'll go. Well, Purdy got me an application. We filled it out on a Sunday afternoon. He hand carried it over to the dean of the college, president of the college on a Monday, and I was accepted. So I said, well, I said, if I'm ever accepted, I'm going to do it. And I did it.
And you were in your 20s, your 30s at this time?
No, I was in the late 20s, right.
Okay.
Late 20s, yep. And I guess I was like, oh, you got me on that one. I guess. I'll have to think about that and send you an email.
No, because a lot of people getting into a career at that time in our culture, they were kind of well established, and you just didn't up and switch careers like people do today.
Yeah.
I think the statistics are, most college grads, well, yeah. 5 to 10 years ago, it was by the time they hit the 30th birthday, it was 13 careers, but now, for most of the college age people that I meet, they are happy and content being a barista for the rest of their life. Which is not exactly, you know, you can't really raise a family and own a home and do the things that Americans really used to consider a success in life, but they don't care.
That's right.
So it's just the culture has changed, but for you to, you know, up and switch completely from one to the next, but I understand because, if you're not enjoying what you're doing and you've got to, for a really good taste of serving somebody else's dream versus your own. So you made a big switch. So you go to podiatry school and you entered that world.
Yes.
And developed your own practice.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, developed your own practice, I'm guessing.
I mean, I worked my way through podiatry school as being a funeralist, so I stayed with that firm. You know, so I was able to stay with them and actually, it was good for the firm because I was an in-house. I stayed there and lived with we all shared that apartment together, and I would work every third weekend, but during the week I was there, so I was embalming at night. So that saved the guys a lot of headaches of being called in. And that worked out, you know, well for me and well for them. So, yes, I did. I finished that, graduated from there, graduated from podiatry school, did my residency at the college. We had a Cleveland foot clinic at that time. And then I migrated to Pennsylvania to take over, to establish a podiatry department at a state hospital. We had like about 3,000 patients at that time. And they didn't have a podiatry service. So because I didn't know what I was going to do. That's where I graduated from podiatry school. It seemed like everybody was sticking around Ohio, and I didn't see a future there. So I went to a small town in western Pennsylvania at the state hospital, and got on staff over there, developed the podiatry department, and started part-time practice. And then eventually I developed a full-time practice, and then branched out to other communities because, I was, you have McDonald's on just about every corner, but it was only one of me. But I opened up three other offices: one in Pennsylvania, one in Jamestown, New York, and the other one is in Johnsonburg, Pennsylvania, which is about 57 miles one way for me over rural roads. And I did that. I did that for almost 25 years, actually. But that's when I started to develop my problems, and I got involved in this other career of network marketing.
Okay, I want to pause there for just a quick second.
Sure.
Did I understand you, you said not one, but two, or was it three offices that you were running?
Yes, three.
Okay. So how...
Yes, go ahead.
Well, I've seen and heard of orthodontists and dentists running more than one office, you know, in different locations because they can keep different days of the week. How does a podiatrist do that and keep any sort of sanity bouncing from one? I mean, that it just to me, that it seems nuts. Running one business is stressful enough, but three locations seems absolutely crazy. How do you keep up with that?
Well, it was very difficult. I mean, I did, you know, you do what you have to do, you know, and I thought I had to do that. I mean, I had a good staff. I had 12 people. They were mostly all part-timers, but I had a good staff and an office manager, and we would, I had staff at all three offices. I mean, staff from the area. I didn't have to transport my staff with me unless it was my office manager. So that sort of, that worked out pretty well. I mean, it was just I was working long hours. I mean, you know, I mean, I hardly had any life. And at that time, when I was on hospital staff, and I was doing foot surgery, we would have to, in those days, I mean, you put somebody in the hospital, you have to see them the night before, then you see them during those, you know, you go in there early in the morning for surgery, then you see them after surgery, then you see them the next day and the next day and the next day. Sometimes we kept them in the hospital for 3 days, you know, until we got, until this, surgical care, or, these, units, outpatient units, then you just did the surgery and they went home. But that, you know, early in my career, we didn't have that.
Okay, so now that we've, successfully convinced, anyone that's listening right now to never, as we say, do as I say, not as I do. Well, we don't want them to do as we say or as we do, go into that because, you know, it's, I guess I look at our culture today and we've always, known that if you want to earn more money, well, you get a second job or you get a third job. However, there's this concept of working smarter, not harder. And so Niken came along, and I'm guessing the same doctor that introduced you to the world of podiatry also introduced you to Niken. Do we owe Dr. Purdy the credit for this as well?
No, I'll take the credit for that one if you don't mind.
Okay.
Yeah, what happened was, yeah, that's absolutely true. But I used to work, you know, 7 days a week. I'd see patients on a Saturday morning because they were usually post-ops. And then I would see them Sunday morning after church. I sang in church choir, which was only about a block away from the house or from the office. So, you know, you go to 10 o'clock service, and by the time that's over with, you run over to the office, you see some patients, and then it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So then you go home and you sort of rest for the next day. But, yeah, so what happened was, I started getting physical challenges, you know, my hands started going numb, I started to drop instruments, my hands were cramping, I started to feel a lot of fatigue and muscle aches and pains and just tired all the time, wasn't sleeping good, I felt every bump in the highway when I drove my car and I was pushing myself. You know, 7 days a week. I mean, I didn't hate it. I mean, I loved what I was doing. I always said I loved fixing feet. I thought I was going to do it till I was 125 years old and then go on part time. But it doesn't work that way.
Hmm.
So I was getting these challenges, and I said, you know, what am I going to do? I'm doing these three offices and working that, and you know, starting to really, really. Decline in health and even my psyche, you know. And
how old at the time?
Probably 40. Probably 52, I would think.
Okay.
Yeah, I was in my late 40s because I remember I used to say, well, I was about 40 years old. I start getting this pain in my little finger, and I thought, oh, you know. They said once you hit 40, it's all downhill after that. That's the first thing to my mind.
You're giving me a lot of hope as a 45-year-old. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Well, Well, don't forget, you know, I grew up in this ethnic background, you know, in a coal mining town in Pennsylvania, you know, so you don't have to understand where I'm coming from out there.
Sure. I understand.
Yeah, so what happened was I got podiatrists to help me with my practice because I couldn't work anymore. I had to cancel a surgical case. I had bilateral bunions I was supposed to operate. I did one, and my hands cramped so bad that I just canceled the other case, and that was the last of my surgical procedures. I mean, I never did surgery after that because I couldn't trust myself in the operating room. I decided to get better. I talked to my friend who's an attorney. He said, you know, you have a problem and you're treating yourself. You better get medical help here, because if you do something to a patient, that's punitive damages. There's no malpractice insurance that's going to cover that. And that's scared the living daylights out of me.
Sure.
And then that's how I started to go, because I was treating myself. I was taking all the medications that I could take. I mean, I was getting all these drugs from the drug companies. I was actually giving myself cortisone injections on both sides of my breastbone because of the pain was so intense there. And you know, as I said, I wasn't sleeping. I couldn't even turn over in bed. I'd have to sit up and decide what side I was going to sleep on that side. And when I got up in the morning, I had to prop myself up to get myself going. Like a wet noodle. I mean, I had no strength.
And Shannon, in your opinion, looking back, is this a typical thing that's occupational for podiatrists, or was it because you were burning the candle at both ends?
Probably the latter. I think it was probably the candle at both ends, because it was burning the candle at both ends. I just didn't know how to stop. I mean, I always said I'm a dumb Pollock. I don't know.
The concept of what Meekin has to offer as far as the five pillars of health, or Kaizen, and that we're not really taking care of ourselves for the healthy body, mind, you know, family, finance, society. If one suffers, it's okay, but if a couple, three or four of those five areas are suffering, which is what you were dealing with, I mean, you actually were probably still making good income, but if the health deteriorates, then it doesn't really matter at that point.
Absolutely, because I had no idea, no concept of what the five pillars of health was or is or were at that time. You know, a little sidetrack here. When I got involved in NICAN, and we had you remember the old flip charts that we used to have. My first wellness preview, my sponsor said, "Why don't you do it?" I said, "Seriously? Yeah, this is the first time. I just got probably 2 weeks of the business." And we had that flip chart, and when I flipped that chart over, I said, "Nikian's philosophy is the five pillars of health," and I read it. I got goosebumps because I never heard of that before. Never, ever heard of it. And it was like I was hitting it in the head with a baseball bat. I mean, I got goosebumps. And I even paused and says, "Wow." And that was it. But let's back up now. And I had to hire the podiatrist to work my practice because I couldn't do it. I was in braces. To stop my range of motion. I couldn't even wave bye-bye. And one of the doctors said, "Well, we'll put you in braces so you can limit that motion of waving bye-bye." I saw 28 specialists over a 2-year period of time to try to get better. And my options were they were going to fuse my wrists, both wrists, to stop the motion because the pain was so intense that I had there. And then I said, "What happens if that doesn't work?" "Well, then we'll release your carpal tunnel." "What happens if that works?" "Then we'll fuse your neck because I had some challenges in my neck that was creating all this pain going down my shoulders and down my arms." And I said, "What happens if that doesn't work?" And the doctor said, "You'll have to learn to live with it."
Okay, so let me do a quick overview here, you know, because right now I'm just absolutely freaking out that, you know, a gentleman in his, you know, let's say late 40s, early 50s, that your whole body just basically began to shut down because of lack of sleep or lack of, you know, convertible vitamins. Were you ever diagnosed with carpal tunnel syndrome, with arthritis, or with, I mean, you said limited range of motion? Were you in a car accident or any of the above?
Well, I had a couple of car accidents prior to that, but they were like fender benders. I remember once when I was going to one of my offices, we had a sleet storm, and I was driving a Range Rover, thank God, at that time. And I was going down a hill, and I lost control of the car, and I did a couple of 360s. And ended up in an embankment on the car was on its side, and I had to climb out of it. That was probably the worst accident I could ever recall. And you know, it was icy snow. I was in the country. I walked over to some farmhouse, and that lady was nice enough to get me in there and call the tow truck. But that was the only thing. But the diagnosis that I had was severe degenerative joint disease, carpal tunnel. I had carpal tunnel syndrome, and I had some herniated discs in my neck, and that was the diagnosis that I had.
Okay, yeah. So because you're not making us feel very good right now. there was never any hope that we've heard all this terrible stuff about how bad, you know, Dr. Bogus's life was, and here, but we know that's not the end of the story. So
that's not right.
You literally sought out and discovered Niken on your own, or was there a Goodwill ambassador dressed up as an angel? What happened?
Well, no, you know, I was really, really miserable. A medical doctor, so I don't even know if he's involved anymore. It was in Jamestown, New York. He got involved. He was so excited about the next step, knowing that I was a podiatrist. He thought he would get, you know, I would be one of his prospects. I was in New York at that time on a weekend, and there was a terrible snowstorm. Made it home, and I had all these post-it notes on my door, on my wall at the office. Call Dr. Lampert, call Dr. Lampert. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what the, you know, why does he want me? Here's an MD calling a podiatrist. This, we're going back now, 1980s, you know. And I said, maybe I had a patient that I got a hold of that had a challenge or something. I called him, and he talked to me about he wanted to have lunch with me, and I said, well, yeah, MD asks a podiatrist for lunch, you're not going to refuse that. So I did, and I drove up to Jamestown, New York, in my car. I felt every month in the highway. I was so miserable. I left my braces in the car so he wouldn't see them, and we had lunch, and he was telling me about Niken and the products and the next steps, and I just couldn't believe it. I said, I don't know, my goodness, this guy's telling me about this stuff. And I drove all the way to Jamestown to hear this, and I said, so he gave me a package, and I didn't listen to it. He tried three times to get me involved, and I was not interested. What piqued my interest when he invited me to lunch to meet his sponsor, Sherry Clark, from Atlanta, Georgia, for lunch.
I'm laughing because everybody that's listening right now has heard Sherry a time or two, and there's this little hunch in my mind, and this is something that in the last two decades being associated with Niken, that, you know, you always wonder, how do you effectively introduce people to something as great as Niken that has literally changed millions of people's lives in the last 40 years, that we generated billions of dollars in sales? How do you effectively introduce Niken to other people? And there is no right or wrong answer, because we're all different. Right. So you go to lunch with this gal named Sherry Clark.
Yep. This is an ABC. See the importance of an ABC. And she's telling me about all these products and the product experiences in Atlanta, Georgia. And we were having a wonderful lunch and a good time. And she was so sincere. And I always say that. So she was coming from the heart. And I had no reason not to believe her. And I said, I'll come back that night. This was in my Jamestown office. I was only working there 2 days a week, Tuesdays and a Thursday. It was only Tuesday at that time. So I said, I'll come back and I'll sign it. I'll join you. I didn't know what it was doing, you know. But so here's the miracle, I think, on that part. Well, whether it is a miracle or not, but it happened a couple of days. I went back to my office and I was treating a patient for heel pain that I could not get rid of. And she was an established patient, and I watched her hobble into my treatment room. Now, I was just introducing people to the practice, and if I could do some palliative work, I could do that. So I watched her hobble into the treatment room, and when she sat on that chair and turned around, and she was crying, and she looked at me, pointed her finger at me, and she said, I want you to cut my foot off, and she points to her ankle bone from here down.
Ow.
And I looked at her, and it was thank God that I was having lunch that day with Sherry Clark, because I said, Martha, sit here. I think I may have something that I don't know what else to do for you. Just sit here. I gave her a magazine, called up Dr. Lampert's office. I said, can I borrow a pair of these inserts from and some of these products from you? And they said, yeah, come on down. So I got back and said, Martha, here, I want you to put these in your shoe. These inserts, I said, I don't know, there's a product from Japan, it's new to this country. I gave her a little mini, put it on the side of her heel where I normally would give her an injection. I said, taped it there. I said, I want you to wear these, put a sock on, wear them constantly and see what happens. I didn't know what else to do for it. Well, that was a Tuesday. On Thursday, that night, I went in and I became a distributor. I maxed out a couple credit cards. I always tell Shirley, you know, she really took advantage of me. She maxed out my credit cards. And I was driving home that night. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what did I do? I have no idea on how to do this business or spend all that money. And I'm going to get all these products. But anyway, on Tuesday that week, I called from the Jamestown office, Johnsonburg office, and about 10 o'clock in the morning, I said, Martha, good morning, this is Dr. Bogus. Did you jump out of bed during the jig this morning? She said, you bet I did. I could hear her. That's going to ring through me until I see her in heaven. I was blown away. I said, really? She said, I told my husband, this guy knows what he's doing. I have no pain in my foot.
This guy knows what he's doing.
It's the truth. And she said, I went with my, this right around Easter time, she said, I went with my daughter to Erie. We shopped all day on those cement floors. She said, I have no problem with the foot. Well, that was my first experience in believing that something was going on with the products. And then when I got my sleep system, or when I got my products and I slipped my sleep system, the first night I slept on that sleep system, Vance, when I laid on that bed, I felt these tinglings and I thought, whoa, there's something going on here. And I slept like a baby. I slept like a baby for 4 hours. First time in 12 years I slept that long. I got up at about 2 o'clock in the morning because I had a headache. I've never had a headache like that. Took a couple of Tylenol because I didn't use the pillow. And then went back to bed and slept like a baby. Didn't even move. Didn't have to get up and turn around. If I did, I didn't know I did it. And I jumped out of bed that morning, and I mean, it was like being reborn. I mean, I'd wake up.
And then at this point, if we were standing side by side, you know, I would do the proverbial put my hand on your shoulder and try and walk you through this. But it, you know, Stan, what amazes me, here you are sharing this story of something that happened more than almost 2 decades ago.
20 years.
And we still get choked up emotional as grown adults because you're, I don't know how to say this any other way, but you probably were in a state that you might have been making appointments to go see some of your former colleagues in the funeral business to start picking out a casket at the rate you were going.
Well, let me tell you, I apologize for the emotions here, but I had a partner who was an MD in the building that I owned, and I said to him, and he used to call me, I said, Bucky, if my staff ever tells you that they find me stretched out someplace on the floor, no ABCs, airways, breathing, circulation, I said, don't do 911, don't take me to them, don't do any heroic measurements, just call the funeral director down the street. So you hit the nail on the head, my friend, when you said what you said, because, he puts his hand on my shoulder, and he says, Stanley, you're not thinking about committing suicide, are you? And I thought, oh, gosh. I mean, I was, you know, I grew up in this Catholic household, you know. You're told you got to carry this cross. And I thought I had my cross, and I was carrying it. But I would never take my life. I never even considered that. I mean, I thought, geez, I didn't know how I was going to live to be the age of my parents. That was my big concern. How could I ever live to that age and have a good life? Because that was just so miserable.
So, and I don't want to try and sum up this story, because I think at this point we're going to have to schedule a follow-up session here, just by getting, and I'm not a counselor, and I'm not pretending to be one or playing one on TV. However, I'm sensing that there's a whole nother part two of this story, you know, the story of Dr. Stan Bogus, because we haven't even touched on what Nikan has done for you as far as the financial realm of how three offices, three locations in the podiatry industry have, you know, come to a winding nose up and making a switch to the world of network marketing. But obviously, your encounter with these Nikan solutions completely changed your life.
Oh, man, sure. I mean, it just gave me a whole new life. I mean, something gave me a vision, you know, getting involved and getting to learn about the company, about the philosophy, about the mission, the humans being more thing, you know. When I did my first humans being more training, we drove 9 hours to the Pocono Mountains, three of us, I thought, boy, that was really quite an eye opener for me. Never had any kind of training, you know, to expand your horizons as we did then and as we do now with humans being more training. But I mean, I was so blown away with that program, and it was Larry Proffitt held it, and geez. Boy, the name speaks. I had it right at the tip of my tongue that it's called me out.
One of the other facilitators, Bev.
Yeah, one of the early Bev Tepin, and they were marvelous. And I said, you know, I mean, you know how emotional you get with that kind of, at that thing. And I said, they should be teaching this stuff in churches and in schools. Imagine if they taught this. That was my first thought about my experience with the. Back then it was
silver
training, but yeah.
Right. Let me do this for the sake of time. Yeah, for your schedule and everybody else's listening. Let me ask one final question, and then we'll do a part two here in a couple of weeks. We'll get together, you know, off the line here, and we'll come up with a date. But I want to ask, in your opinion, because were you one of the fortunate recipients the beginning of September to receive a package in the mail, a prototype? Yes or no?
No.
Uh-huh. No, okay. So you were introduced to the M-Strides at Nikan's annual event in Las Vegas at the end of October. It's almost 2 months now that you've actually seen this solution, and knowing, again, my final question to you is, as a former podiatrist, somebody who studied all things to do with the feet, and how important they are to the body, where do you see the future of where we're going in the wellness industry if this is all we had. And fortunately, we have so much more when it comes to the whole world of wellness, but if all we had is the M-Stride, where do you see this going?
Wow, that's a good question. I think that, I've been wearing mine now for 2 months, and I want to tell you that I've taken all my old back steps and replaced them with the M-Strides. I have them in a lot of shoes around here. I don't know how to answer that. I think that everyone, once you start feeling them and start feeling how good you feel, it's hard for me to explain really my reaction to it. I've heard some of the testimonies at the convention. But I didn't have a chance to wear mine until, I think it was right about the end of the convention, because I did get a pair. It just seems like I can't really put my foot on how good you feel, you know? And it's because I heard this from other people. One of my distributors said, my feet feel so much better, with these new ones. And I have a general feeling of well-being.
Mm.
And that's how I notice my feelings. You know, I go to work out, I feel better with the new ones than I did with the old ones.
Mm.
And as a podiatrist, when I was in practice, I mean, after I sold my practice, I was still there involved for 2 years, and that's when I got involved in NECAM. So I started using these products almost like as a first course of treatment instead of an injection. I mean, I was cutting my feet. I mean, I'd rather give somebody a MaxDef for $40-some than to give them an injection for $35 or $70 or whatever it was doing then, you know what I mean? Or even running a Magboy on somebody's heel for heel pain or plantar fasciitis rather than giving them an injection. That's how I was starting to change my attitude as far as treating with them. So, I mean, the new ones I think are going to be, they're far superior, they're lighter, they feel better in your feet. You don't miss the bumps. You don't miss the bumps, and still, even with the bumps, you're supposed to get a feeling of euphoria or whatever because it works on your acupressure points and the acupuncture points of the foot. But there are no bumps on these, and you still get that feeling.
Right. Well, what I'd like to explore in part two, if we can call that part two, with Dr. Stan Bogus on Saturday AM Live. That'll be coming soon to a telephone near you.
I'll be happy to do part two with you.
But, I really wanted to hear, and as you shared, I couldn't help but think that, you know, so much of your life was literally wrapped up in what you felt. Hey, this is what I'm supposed to do with my life. But I know full well that you had no idea that running that business and literally how it ran you and where that would, how much your life physically would have to deteriorate for you to open the door to this solution, this answer called NECAM. And because that's what all of us have to go through. Maybe, you know, it's not a major physical thing. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's emotional. We all have different reasons. But the majority of folks out there I know get introduced to NECAM because of something we're doing even physically, or a loved one or a friend or a neighbor, and we say, hey, you know, I don't know about this, just like what you said, you know, I don't know much about this, but hey, what have you got to lose? So, but why don't we do that? Why don't we come back and we'll hear the rest of the story, because I think you would have a lot to offer and give to us as far as how you make a transition, and whether it's wanting to do this on a part-time basis to generate some extra income, or maybe we could don't have any interest in the business at all. We just want to share it with people just because of the health benefits. But then there's also the flip side of it. How do you make a full-fledged, you know, plan of attack to transition and making this a full-time gig so that it could generate and give us a quality of life that we're used to before. So maybe we can, you know, focus on that. And I'm sure you have a plethora, dozens if not hundreds of other stories of what you got to see and what you're still seeing today with what the solutions have done for other people, including, you know, yourself, because we didn't even get, all you shared about and got emotional is just your first night sleeping like a baby. And, speaking of babies, the, 3.5-year-old, Ethiopian just came in and, decided to do that. It's time for daddy to get off the phone.
All right. Well, be delighted. You tell me when, we'll set up another Saturday.
We'll make it happen. And again, if you joined us late, Dr. Stan Bogus has been with us this morning. And if you got on late, you want to hear the beginning of the story, www.saturdayamlive. Again, www.saturdayamlive, all spelled out, .com is the website. And they're all in chronological order, all the interviews that we've done. And so you can hear, and I would encourage you, if you really want to hear more about Stan, and from a different source, Dr. Mark Sussman was with us 2 weeks ago, and I think everything was above reproach. I don't think Dr. Sussman said anything too terribly that was exaggerated or anything, but he did a great job of edifying his good friend, Dr. Bogus, and I think you get a lot out of that story as well. And there, again, so that's, and so Dr. Bogus, thank you for being with us this morning. Great, great privilege, and we will reboot and have you back in a few weeks' time and hear the rest of the story.
Okay, my pleasure, and my pleasure, Vance, and thanks for having me asking me on, and wish everybody happy holidays out there and a good, successful 2014 health.
All righty. Okay, everybody, yes, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year if we don't talk to you before then, and great weekend as well. Bye-bye for now, everyone.
Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.